Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 164. I think we're back on track.
We're back on track with the numbering.
The post on the message board was like the numerology lost episode or something they called it, just because it went from 161 to 163.
Yeah, it had a polar bear in it. Made no sense.
It did make no sense. Had a hatch and a stupid ending that everyone predicted in season one. Guess what?
I'm all a titter. What?
I'm a shapeshifter. Yes, no, I really.
Now I'm excited. I'm like, this is a surprise announcement.
I really built it up.
Like, yeah, I'm like, okay, great. Crazy. Yeah, I'm ready. Come on.
I'm gay. Yeah, Work for Todd Glass. Yeah. I'm gonna go on board.
So I'm like, all right, lay it on me. Let's see. What is it? What's this big reveal?
I'm a treasure hunter.
And I finally found the Spanish gold I've been looking for the last 20 years. That's why you only see me once a week.
And it's in your backyard, yeah. Chris. So, gotta dig some shit up. Hope your kids are okay with me moving the tether ball. Which is a great, fun family game.
It really is, especially for limited space.
Slap a ball, kids. Mm-hmm. We need to talk about our wonderful sponsor, TiVo.
Yes. Second week in a row.
Continuous sponsorship, two in a row. It's amazing.
Now, TiVo, as you guys know, TiVo is one of those companies that, like, they kind of pioneered the DVRs and rewinding and all this cool stuff. And then all the cable companies went, okay, well, we should do that too, and we'll make our own. But then, what did TiVo do? They upped their game.
Yeah, because everything changed with the other sort of internet boxes and internet ready TVs. They said, well, we need to do this.
Yeah, you have TiVo Stream. You can watch on your iPad all over the house. You can transfer your recordings and take them with you when they're on an airplane or when there's no Wi-Fi.
Which we were just on. Yes. And I wish to God I had TiVo Stream on that airplane, that the flight out where they had no TVs. It was a brand new plane and they hadn't put TVs in it.
Right.
And I was like, if I would have had TiVo Stream,
would have been watched some Breaking Bad episodes. Something.
Yes, I could have watched Longmire, which is a store brand Justified. Yes.
I just saw the cast of Longmire in Santa Fe.
Were they just like at a Costco or something?
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, are they a shopping center?
No, they were.
They were buying
ponchos. They needed ponchos. Guys, we need 50 more ponchos. Stat. Mm-hmm. No, they were actually at a Mexican restaurant having margaritas. So I don't know if that. And you know who was with them? A guest star, Lou Diamond Phillips.
I met Lou
in a squeeze.
I don't know
sweet
if he's a guest
cheeks.
Star.
What is he?
I think he's in the cast.
Regular,
cast.
Whoops, yeah.
Who hasn't seen Longmire? Me. Except for the cast in person.
That, folks, is our guest, Stephanie Escajeda.
Hello, sorry to interject, but you don't get a lot of chance to speak about Longmire.
No.
Ever. No, does anyone speak about Longmire?
And nor will you.
No.
But if you like watching an off-brand Justified, you can do that on your TiVo.
You sure can. You can watch a lot of stuff that's copies of other shows.
You can watch really dumb movies. Like, the technology of TiVo is so smart, but your stupidity of watching, like, Transformers, it'll allow you to do that. It's that open. TiVo is that open.
Yeah, TiVo doesn't judge you.
No, it doesn't. It should.
Yes, it should. But there'll be an upgrade that will. You know, the TiVo judgment app.
That'd be great. If it's like, are you sure you want to watch this? Like a little icon pops up. Like, this is kind of dumb.
All right, Project Runway.
You did give it a thumbs up one time before, but really? Are we going to do this again?
Yeah. It's the same plot in the sequel from the first one. You sure you want to do that?
TiVo listen to this?
You're watching a lot of hillbilly shows.
Because TiVo really has. You guys have described some kick-ass updates from TiVo.
No, it does. Honestly, like, when they approached us, because All Things Comedy said, you know, TiVo, does anyone want to be, because the network that we just joined said we got the sponsor, and you get to choose as the show if you want to use them or not. And I read about this and went, yeah, because this shit sounds awesome. I am in the process of getting a TiVo.
Awesome. And I have an idea for TiVo.
Okay.
This is something since DVRs have happened, I've wanted to have happen. And I don't know, maybe it already does, so you guys can correct me. But I've always thought, you know, when you watch like a moment of a TV show or a movie that you've recorded and it reminds you exactly of somebody, or you're like, this guy has to see this. Has he seen this? But you only want to show them this like chunk. It would be like a way to edit like chunks and send them to other TiVo users to be like, did you see this?
Oh,
is
wow.
Is that weird? Is that a weird idea?
Like make your own like little promo?
No, it wouldn't even be it's promoing. Like, it would just be like Graham, like let's say Graham and I had an inside joke of saying like his pants fell down. I don't know. I'm making something up. And then it happens to be unjustified. The character at the very tail end of the episode went, his pants fell down. And it said it exactly like Graham did. Well, then I can like take the last 30 seconds of Justified. And if he's a TiVo user, send it to him as a clip to view.
All right, put it on the upgrade list.
Wow, TiVo, yeah. That's amazing.
I mean, it
have
would be...
Have the Pants Fell Down Graham Inside yes. Joke app. That's what we would call it.
It would be email a, like, have you seen this?
That's really
trademarked.
Awesome. That's
well,
cool.
The other it's thing not, I like it's to not do in existence.
Is if you're watching, like, Duck Dynasty and then Hillbilly Handfishing, then TiVo shuts your power off after that. Completely. It's like, all right, you're watching too many Mountain Men. You're going to live like one now.
The Real Housewives of brr, brr, brr. It just shuts it down.
And then the robot sad for humanity.
The TiVo icon comes up and goes, you're too stupid to watch this.
Yeah. Or like a little mini robot comes out of the machine and slaps the remote control out of your hand. And it's just like, stop it. Go out and read a book. It hands you books. If books come out of the TiVo.
If you watch too much dumb stuff.
Yeah.
That's a great. Yeah. That's a great.
That's
thing.
Another great app. Yeah, that is.
Or if there was a suggestion thing like it, you like Duck Dynasty. May I suggest reading a book about mallards, like something yeah. like that. And then it gives you like the Dewey Decimal.
No, but you
like,
could interact it with look books you could download and read. That's amazing.
Yeah,
you
got.
All right.
TiVo, we are really
Audible.
On fire here. If you need because us at the board meeting,
yes,
we're available Tuesdays. No, we're not.
The cool thing that it does is it searches. The internet and TV to find shows that you like.
Mm-hmm.
Finds them anywhere. Wow. Hulu, Netflix, it could do that. So if you are like, oh, I love ducks, they're going to say, here's more duck shows for you.
Here's more Justified.
I don't know. That just, I just actually pictured that. Somebody sitting at their house is like, you know what I need? I need more duck shows. I love Daffy Duck. I love Duck Dynasty. What is left? Duck Dodgers? the 24th and a half century. I need any wow. knockoff of any duck type programming.
That'd be awesome.
So, okay. So, let's talk about the Limestone Film Comedy Festival that we were at over the weekend. That was a fantastic film festival. We want to thank all the fans.
It's actually a comedy festival.
Yeah, comedy festival. I keep thinking that because we saw Breaking Away as part of the festival when you guys did Movie Interruption.
It was amazing. I don't even know where to begin. First of all, hats off to Jared and Matt and everyone at the
who put it together.
Jared,
all the
what, Dana, everybody.
Yeah,
everyone,
it was a great festival.
The whole staff who worked on that, all the volunteers, all the local comics who got involved. That festival was so fun. As guys who help run a festival, we know how much work is involved. We know what it
and what works and what doesn't.
What it works and what doesn't, and they just it was so cool. And the fact that having it in the summer when the college kids aren't there, I think is a good thing. Because it just brought in diehard fans.
Like
it just brought in cutters.
It brought in cutters. That's all it did. And like the and it had such cool programming, like doing the Benson Movie Interruption of Breaking Away in that beautiful theater,
shot entirely in Bloomington.
So at the end of the film, when they're singing the Indiana Fight song, half the crowd starts clapping and singing along. It was so cool.
I would have cried.
It was so great.
But now I actually want to see if that quarry is still there.
Sure.
They went swimming in.
Probably.
Dried up. Oh, God, the environment. This is a different podcast. Sorry.
So it was a really fun festival, and we had a great time. And we also want to thank the fans that came out to the Bards. What was that?
The Bardstown
in Louisville.
That we did Sunday night. That was really cool.
Yeah, that was fun on Sunday night, too.
There was a lot. It was all like film nerd fans, like all you guys who listened to the show that you came out.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
And the backtracking a little bit to Limestone, the show that we recorded with Brent Hiker and...
Hiker.
Hey, Hiker. And Pete Holmes will be out probably later.
Holmes.
Shut up, asshole. Pete Holmes. that'll be out. I think that's going to be out the first week of July when that show's going to come out, because that'll be when you're on vacation.
Yes. Probably visiting family. call it different.
Not a vacation.
Don't use the word
Hawaii's
vacation.
A vacation.
It's a trip.
Yeah, it's a trip. Yeah. Exactly.
It's a long journey.
There's a parent who says it's a trip. It is.
I got to pack for my trip.
Yeah, yeah.
Not like I've got to dream about my vacation.
Right. Yeah.
Pack for my fucking trip.
Two different events.
They are. Okay. Is it in a car or an airplane?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Right. Planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yeah. Yeah. This guy. Great. Anyway,
so yes, thank you for coming out to those festivals, because I know a lot of people came from all over Ohio and neighboring towns and stuff like that to Nashville. Many of the Vills, they came, Knoxville, Louisville, to come check out that.
It was a lot of Vills.
It was awesome. And I hope they do it again next year, because it was a lot of, it was good times. I was a guest on Jackie Cation's Dork Forest. I don't know when that'll be coming out soon. Mm-hmm. So listen for that.
And the movie that we did see over the weekend. Yes, The Purge.
Blank Patch had an amazing joke about The Purge.
What was it?
He said, "I'm not going to see The Purge until I see The Binge, so I know what's coming up."
Okay, this film, first of all, we just found out after the fact, after we saw it, that it had a budget of only $3 million, which makes me like it a little more. But it made $34 million. It took the weekend,
yeah,
which is it doubled what The Internship, which had a budget of $58 million. Ugh.
That had a $58
million
budget?
$58 million budget.
I wonder how much that went to salaries.
Well, everyone wants to see, you know, guys in their mid-50s who had chemistry once try to recreate it in a completely hapless plot. I think
The Onion sums
good,
it up.
By the way, good on Ethan Hawke. Like, he came out of nowhere like a hawk. And like 2 weekends in a row literally had, you know, just the groundbreaking end to a trilogy. If you've I thought people said that they saw the first film in the 90s when they were the age of the character. Like, they grew up with the trilogy, which is an amazing, I don't know if he constructed it to be that way, but.
I read in an interview to speak about that.
We should name the movie Before Midnight.
Before Midnight. Mm-hmm. There was Before Sunrise and Before Sunset. Now there's Before Midnight.
Right.
And I read an interview with them that each one of these films, the two sequels, just sort of like, we were at a cocktail party and thought, hey, I wonder where those characters, you know, like 5-6 years down the road, like, I wonder where they'd be at. And we went, well, maybe we should do this.
Awesome.
And now it's become a thing. Now I think it's going to become like the 7-Up movie.
Yeah.
Of like, well, let's see where they're at when they're in their 60s and the kids are grown and they're retired. Like, wouldn't that be...
It'd be like
fans of that franchise would like it. And it's weird to even call it a franchise,
because
it's more like an art, like a triptych.
It is.
But it's but then he's in this thing, and I hear that, you know, it's just like, well, it's getting mixed reviews.
You know what? It's interesting. It's because the movie itself is a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's...
What did you think? You go first.
Yeah, I really thought it was... I mean, I was very excited to see this movie, and I thought it was an amazing premise, and I love some of the detail they made on the premise at the beginning. Like, there's like these new founding fathers, the purge, it's one day a year where killing everything is legal, there's no emergency services, no police, no fire, no nothing. But I love that they took the time to actually add all these extra rules, like, well, only like level X, you know,
level
weapons are allowed,
guns,
level four guns are allowed, you know, politicians above a certain level are exempt, you can't kill them, and like all this really, like, if you actually had this, how would you, you know, how... How would the logistics work of something like this? And they kind of went into that a little bit. And like I said, great premise. Where it the bad part of the bag went is that it went small. It ended up being a big idea, big premise, and a very small movie.
In the house.
And in
the
oh yeah, I mean the house itself felt like a neighborhood.
But
it was like, I'm like, oh, now come on, we can't all keep hiding in the house and not be able to find each other. And you know, there's like, there's not 20 floors to this house.
But you can't. I don't know that now that you know it was a $3 million budget.
Well, the point I was going to get to is like, now that when you see that like there was a $3 million budget, you realize they did the best they could with what they had, the resources they had with them. However, one of the things that I love, like I said, the premise, and I thought the acting was good. The villain was a little over the top-y, kind of jokery. And one of the things it did do, it tried too hard to be a horror movie. it really tried to, like, we got to put those horror movie elements in there, like, you know, the way the camera moves, and then as the camera pans, oh, there's somebody in the shot now that wasn't there a second ago. Those kind of horror movie cliches as you're shooting, and you didn't have to. This movie didn't have to force that in. The premise was so interesting that don't try to, you know, don't try to make this movie something that it doesn't have to be. It's going to stand on its own, is my point. It's like, you know, we have to make it a horror movie. You have to put those horror shots in there and those horror scenes and those big scares. And like, no, you don't. It's the idea is terrifying enough. You don't need to put those cheap scares in as we're shooting, as you know, as we're watching this movie. So I think that it had a couple of missteps ultimately. But here's the thing. It wasn't the kind of movie where I went, oh, this is ridiculous, and it really went off the rails. It was like the kind of movie that had a great premise, had some missteps, didn't really come, it didn't really come together completely, but it wasn't bad. It was really, I really felt right in the middle with this movie. I thought there was good and bad to it.
Do you remember the movie The Strangers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Another like low budget, but in the house horror, you know, why are these people doing this? At least this gave a reason to the
right,
you know,
right.
The right.
It was The Strangers. The whole point of The Strangers was,
it was like, oh, fuck. It was like The Purge.
Because they were home.
Pre Purge.
Yeah. Yeah. it was really, honestly, The Purge is basically The Strangers legalized for 12 hours.
Right.
Is what it is.
My friend, Laura Margolis, played one of the masked strangers. And oddly, because it was such a small film, they were going to make number two. Her husband got a tattoo of her character on his leg. So, like, it's one of those things where you're like, that's a deep cut movie film tattoo. That's a pretty... But The Strangers was great. This was, yeah, like, the big preamble to basically The Strangers.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what I wish they could have done, since you brought up The Strangers, which is an excellent point, I wish they would have made it a little more like they did with The Strangers, and to your point, Chris, of less trying to make it a horror movie.
Right.
You know, because as you said, and they put it in the near future, it's 2022, it's 10 years, you know, and they've been doing purges for like 6 or 7 or the, right, something right. like yeah. that.
It saved the country. That was the premise. This program saved the country.
And they say, like, your new founding fathers. Like, so there's a lot that, like you say, I wish they would have had the money to go big, and maybe they'll make a sequel that explains all this, because that's all the questions you have is, wait, who are these founding fathers? What got us here? What does the rest of the country or the rest of the world think of us? Are other countries doing this, or other countries like, oh, America's just fucking shit nuts, which they currently think.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know what it also reminds me of is Logan's Run, oddly. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, in that, I read the book of Logan's Run, which is actually written by... and it's like a novelette. It's tiny. And it was written by a guy who was a Star Trek writer. Mm-hmm. But what you see in that is a lot more of what they did visually in the film. I mean, it's such an old film, and the sets are obviously kind of like soundstage, crap.
There's some dated, you know, stuff in it, but the premise is very interesting.
The premise holds up. And the other thing about the Logan's Run movie is it's a really long movie.
It is.
I mean, you could get to 30 just watching that movie.
But again, it's kind of
and then
like...
Renew.
But it had this whole world set up, and then you really are following two characters that you're like, wait, they, you know... But they... In the book, it does explain that in the book, nobody past 21 is allowed to live. In the movie, it's 30. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because 21 just sounds ridiculous. And what it was the basically a social commentary that when you kill everybody past 21, nobody has any knowledge
of anything.
Of anything of the past, of anything. Yeah. They're not skilled enough yet to keep up the infrastructure that was set up by this kind of new government thing. So anyways, I mean, that was a more successful large premise of like a social commentary going following two characters who literally run out off the grid, so it's okay. This was just like, yeah, taking it into a tiny house. And
yeah, I mean, I guess for
I'm not tiny house, gigantic,
right? But for $3 million you had to just keep it in one location, which I understand, and I'm knowing that I'm a little more forgiving with the film,
right?
Like I said, the bad guy, the kid in it who becomes really bad, he was a little over the top at times, but then I'm asking myself this question: if this was legalized, than people would once a year just go. And they, the thing of the social commentary in it that I really liked, and they did little subtle things of just, you'd hear little news reports of this year is going to be bigger. Each year is a little bit bigger than last year. And it's like, oh, so this isn't purging. It isn't working. It's making,
it isn't healing the society. No, it's making people's bloodthirst.
Right. And larger. Go and get mad about something. And they go,
and it's a duty. It's a patriotic duty to do this.
It's a patriotic duty. Yeah. And then, so it's like, so people are, instead of going, wow, you know, like there's a quote, in violence, we lose ourselves. Well, in this society, it's like, well, when I get really mad and violent, instead of going, wow, I need to calm down and relax, I go, ooh, 9 months away,
save
motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, going after my boss.
The corner,
yeah, that was like one of the audit things. I'm going to go after my boss. Now, I liked too the very subtle things that it did. I mean, it did a lot of things that were not subtle at all, but there was a couple things.
And by the way, it was almost, we're going to spoiler up this.
Yeah, we'll spoiler up it. And it was like a little like schizophrenic. Like you could tell, it was like, well, it kind of wanted to do one thing and then it wanted to do something else. Like, one of the things I loved is that the Ethan Hawke was the father. He was a security salesman. I mean, he was the one that like secured your homes.
He sold high-end
security, systems. And then, you know, when the purge happens, all these walls and stuff, they shut down, they protect your home. And then the wife goes, you know, can they get into our house? And he looked at her and was like, well, it's not really impenetrable. Mm-hmm. Which the subtlety and the subtext here is that, like, you know, all the security is kind of an illusion.
Snake oil, yeah.
Yeah, if someone wants to come in, they're going to come in. Mm-hmm. And that, I love like stuff like that where it just kind of gets to the heart of the premise, which I thought was kind of cool. Yeah. And then it just did some dumb stuff with like the little remote control car baby.
Well, that was because it was like, well, the paranormal people are involved. And so it was like, oh, so we got a paranormal.
Yeah, we got to make it like, put little creepy things for no reason.
We got to have all these cameras. And it's like, you don't have to do that.
No, you don't. It could stand on its own without the gimmicks.
I had a friend once, his name is Aaron Cooley. And he worked for Joel Schumacher, but he was trying to write a screenplay of his own to make. And he said, I'm trying to write a horror horror film. And I was like, why? What's up with that? He was like, because you can shoot them for the least amount of money.
Mm-hmm. And you don't need
and
stars.
And speaking of bloodthirst of America, people's desire in our country to be scared shitless is so great that there is, and there are just avid fans of the genre of horror.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you don't need a star in it. You don't need shit. It's like, you know, what Paranormal Activity was a huge franchise off of nothing.
Look at the Saw franchise or whatever.
My God.
Are those built on a star?
No.
I don't know. Well, actually, isn't the, what's his name? Carrie
Elwes was in the first one.
Oh, Elwes is how you say that?
Oh, I thought it was Elwes.
Oh, God. Well, I would say John Elway, but that's spelled pretty phonetically. Ewells. I would have said Ewells. Weird.
I know it's not
Guys,
Ewells.
Write in and tell us how you like to pronounce the Princess Bride stars.
Well, the one of the reasons,
Mandy
too, is his brother was an agent, and then that kind of put it through, and then he called Carrie and said, you know, be in this movie.
But so aspiring filmmakers, get a horror bug up your, mm-hmm. you know.
It works.
The Ring. Put a kid in it. Kid shit's always creepy.
So, like we said, we'll do probably, it'll come out later this week as a 30-minute all-spoiler episode of The Purge. So let's move to the internship.
Well, none of us saw these.
None of us saw it, but I want to read the Onion quote, which is, it's the funniest hit comedy of 1995.
Yeah.
Like, I like Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn. I just, the trailer, and if somebody saw it, hey, write us and tell us what you thought. Like, did anyone kneel?
Well, we have a section on the message boards now for fan reviews.
Okay.
You could actually review it. But if you want to send it to, you know, maybe we'll open this up to guest reviews too. Like, we actually have a section in the main site if you send in it to info@comedyfilmnerds.com, and we'll pick one and then we'll put it on the main site too.
Sure.
Kit in Hand fan review. Or you could just, if you don't want to wait for the selection process, and just post your review on the message boards, that's fine too. But here's the thing. I read these interviews, and whenever you read interviews with stars or filmmakers, they're always so contrived because they can't really say anything because they got to make everybody happy, and you can't say anything controversial. And, you know, he said, I think it was Vince Vaughn or Owen Wilson. I think it was Vince Vaughn that said that, you know, we were trying really hard to get the location Google. If we didn't get Google, the company and the campus, I don't think we would have done this movie. And I'm thinking, sorry, Google said yes then at that point. I mean, there was the fact that they got Google – had nothing to do with the faulty premise. It doesn't matter what right. company you made it. It's right. it just wasn't compelling.
I'm really curious to see if anyone, someone who saw the whole film, because the trailer is like, these guys in their 40s don't know how the internet works. Like,
right.
really? They're just like, ugh.
Yeah, these guys in their Hollywood 40s
yeah,
and they're don't know how they... Right. how the internet
and everyone
works.
Was just a lot of people someone I did who did see it say it was just like old school, like there's they had a competition and they were the misfit group, and I don't know, I mean I know most
yeah we've seen it before
yeah I mean I know most comedies.
Well, did you guys love Wedding Crashers? Because I thought that was
I love Wedding Crashers. I loved film. Old school.
Is this hanging on, are these two guys the guys from Wedding Crashers, or is this just give these two buddies another buddy movie?
That's a great
I
question.
Don't know if the, that is these a great are question. The guys that crashed weddings.
And make it more interesting. Give them a buddy movie that when they're not playing 20-year-olds.
Well, give them also like a... Did Owen Wilson have a kid too? I mean, Vince Vaughn has had children right. now. Like, he's a different person. And there's so much to be said for how... If these are the two guys from Wedding Crashers, how they could speak to their life. I mean, I would see a sequel to Wedding Crashers... A simple sequel of
this.
Where these guys, right. yeah, that doesn't have this weird hang.
Like a Before Midnight of Wedding Crashers.
Oh, yes. Would you? Thank you. I would totally fucking see that.
Wouldn't that be
I
awesome?
I want to see the geriatric Wedding Crashers.
The like, guys in their 40s with kids yes. who were like, man, we used to tear it up when we were younger, and
yeah.
now...
And now they could be, I don't know, crashing preschool auctions? No, I don't
what
know.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you don't...
Or you could make a movie with some actors in their 20s. You could do that too.
No, I'm all for employing old actors.
Yeah,
I don't think
going
myself.
To younger actors is the solution. I think
but
having these guys
saying.
That are talented do something that isn't the same goddamn thing over
exactly,
and over.
Exactly. Yes. Like, but if you're going to make a movie like this, you know, if you're going to make Revenge of the Nerds, the whole point was that they were all college kids. Right.
Can I tell you something sad though? I think that I could see a studio meeting literally. Where they came to them and said, we want to make the next generation Wedding Crashers for these two characters. We want to see what, or look at this amazing chemistry that was proven box office gold with Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn. Let's do another thing. And I bet the studio heads were like, love it. You guys are super old. Figure out a way to get a shit ton of young people in that movie, and we'll make some kind of movie. Because a lot of what it's based on is these guys are out of place because they're old.
Yep.
Well,
old fish out of water.
Well, old
thing, but,
fish
but
out of
that
water.
Old fish out of water, like,
which is basically like dried.
The things that they're saying, in the, at least in the trailer, are things like my mom. Well, yeah, says, like, I mean, people in their 60s and 70s, right. I get they don't understand technology.
I got the solution. Put Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn in the remake of Logan's Run.
Oh, God, that's a good one.
Well, that's the other thing, too, is it's not
does
hard.
Scott Rudin listen to this podcast?
Let us hope. Because it's
you're Googling, so you're getting distracted. You're going into the premise of the movie through the premise of the movie.
Right, because I'm just looking.
Use Bing, for Christ's sake.
I'm looking at
don't reward
IMDb
them
page.
For
I'm not
this
Googling
internship.
It. I'm at IMDb.
Oh, IMDb.
IMDb. It's a different one.
It's internet movie data premises.
Premises based.
Basis for premises that never got made.
He's done The Watch, you know, The Dilemma, Couples Retreat.
This is Sean Levy, then?
No,
the
this
director?
Is Vince Vaughn.
Oh, God, yeah.
Couples Retreat, Four Christmases, Fred Claus, Into the Wild. Like, okay.
Into the Wild, well, that's different.
Who he was in Into the Wild. He had a small character in Into the Wild, right? He played this kind of club owner guy that's cool, a little shady. He gets busted. You know, he's one of the many characters that the kid meets, right? And it's obviously based on a real person because they found this kid's journal and made that movie. That guy who Vince Vaughn was in that movie, that's the type of guy he should be doing movies of. Because Vince Vaughn can always do fast talking, funny crack guy, right? But let's see him like a mature, like we've been talking about, a mature version of that guy.
You want
like,
him to take his Robin Williams star turn?
A little bit. Mm. And I'm not saying he's got to go, you know.
1 hour photo. No, you don't
no,
want him to go.
No, I don't want him to go 1 hour
dye
photo.
Your hair.
And I don't want like when he.
Well, also, people take digital pictures. Right. That's not going to even.
But like Vince Vaughn early in his career, when he first blew up, they had him, you know, they remade Psycho and they tried to make him this brooding leading man. He's not that guy, but he could play a quirky independent film that isn't like me and Owen Wilson up to the same shenanigans, mm-hmm. you know, and then, you know.
But that is his talent. Vince Vaughn as himself,
right.
He used to hang out at the Comedy Store a bunch. He was like a mister. I mean, he was quicker than any of the comedians. He would just back, and I could see how it would be like, give me some thin tin can premise and let him go. Fill the dialogue up.
And
I don't
he's
care
done
who
that.
It.
He's done that a bunch. I mean, look at his resume.
Sometimes it's gold, and so I mean, nobody saw Couples Retreat. Was that? And no. That was also like 17.
Well, I mean,
characters.
You go all the way back to Swingers. I mean, you see when he was introduced,
right?
And see, like, oh, okay, he's going to be in a ton more movies now.
But that was also a great. I mean, that was like a snapshot of a time and a place.
It sure was.
Sure.
That we were all in.
Yes. Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, don't you think? If you put Vince Vaughn in a really kind of cool, maybe it's some sort of like Paul Giamatti-esque indie film, or like a, you know, like a 500 Days of Summer or something like that, where he plays a guy that has more depth and heart and soul. He'll still have his funny lines because he's Vince Vaughn, but like more not just because there's no way he's still that. Because yeah, when he was in his 20s hanging out at the Comedy Store, I'm sure he was tagging women three at a time or whatever, Mr. Bang Bang, but there's no way he's still that.
Well, exactly. He's had so many life changes.
Right. So wouldn't you want to see that on film?
I do, but this is the thing. Okay, so speaking to Robin Williams, he, in that 1 hour photo shift in the
Insomnia.
Not just even that. Before that, he was a therapist in the Academy Award winning movie
Good Will Hunting.
That was a good example of
Dead Poets Society.
Right.
Yeah. The Vince Vaughn versions of those.
So what he was able to do, Robin Williams as the stage comic, as the comedic actor, is Mr. Beep Bop 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 coming up with, like, he's lightning in a bottle. He's got this, you know, tapped into the zeitgeist kind of way that he speaks. He quieted that and mm-hmm. somehow channeled anything he wanted to say through the dialogue that was given to him and written.
Also,
can Vince Vaughn do that?
Well,
because he might be too, it takes him shutting down a little.
But it's also script selection. He worked with Gus Van Sant. It wasn't a Robin Williams vehicle, you know what I mean? And I think that's part of what made Robin make that choice. And I think Vince Vaughn needs to do this. Instead of just teaming up with these like you say, these like, wacky premise and I'll just slap it together, he needs to get together with a good, solid director and a good script.
And let go some of the producing and directing, all these other things. You know, just come on board a project. You don't have to, you know, be in control of everything.
And I think we've really got deep, but it's that we're talking about a person releasing control and giving over to like somebody else's artistic talent.
Vision. Right.
And that's something.
And maybe he's so shown himself in meetings and every place to not be capable of that. So no Gus Van Sant wants to work with him. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting question. And I think we brought this up before on this show because we all.
So if anyone's worked with Vince Vaughn, let us know.
No, but I mean,
come on.
We've talked about this, though. As performers ourselves, we know, like, I got this bag of tricks that I know is going to work. And sometimes it's scary to get away from it. Mm. And maybe it's just that, especially now you put tens of millions of dollars attached to your bag of tricks. Then it's like, oof.
Because so many people are waiting for the Robin Williams star turn to fail.
Yeah, a paid vacation, Couples Retreat. That was pretty much.
Well, his agents and people are all just like, Couples Retreat too.
You got to do it. You got to do it.
You know what I mean? Like, Vince Vaughn at an amusement park. Vince Vaughn is a haunted house director. Vince, you know, like.
Same thing. I mean, well, gosh.
I would see Vince Vaughn as a haunted house director.
Yeah.
Will Ferrell is the remember the sports movie run? Mm-hmm. He did. It was like, get him in the basketball team. Get him now. He's a soccer player,
race car driver,
exactly. Yeah. I mean,
now he's coaching little kids doing soccer.
Lord,
right?
But okay. Right. Well, let's now, Stephanie. Speaking of indie films, let's talk about the one you recently did.
Oh, you mean Love, Sex, and Missed Connections?
That's the one.
Yes. Sure.
So tell everybody like what this the premise of this movie first and where they can find it and stuff like that.
So the premise of the movie is a guy basically in a low point in his life has just walked in on his girlfriend having sex with his best friend, and he has a crappy job. He decides to sort of give up, and in the point at which I guess he's stretching his arms out and falling back to just hit the ground, his friends come and say, "We have something to cheer you up. We've placed a we've answered a misconnections ad," which is Craigslist has a section called misconnections, where people say, "I saw you. You were wearing blue. I'd love to hang out with you. I think we had a chemistry or something."
Yeah, yeah. I saw you at the corner of this and this. And,
yeah, yeah, I saw you driving by on the freeway, and I thought you were hot. By the way, have you ever had a misconnection place? Like, how do people know? You'd have to, like, want to go there and see the...
Yeah.
I ran into a guy once that told me he put a misconnection out for me. It was a guy that I had... ran into like three or four times, and
you'd both have to experience it at the same time,
and you have to go Craigslist, like, you have to what do I do with this feeling, this heart pounding emotion? I gotta go to Craigslist.
Like, as you're jumping on a train, you just go Craigslist.
Because I looked at him and I was kind of like, well, why the F, when you saw me the last time and we were like, hey, hi, don't I know you, did you not ask for my fucking phone number?
Yeah.
Which I carry that all the time. I go to Craigslist like when I need to buy a couch. Anyhow, so the premise is basically that he then, to kind of get himself back on the dating game, or at least having sort of meaningless sex, he will respond as the guy saying, yeah, let's meet at this bar, or his friends set these up for him. And then when they show up, he watches until the girl feels like she's almost been stood up, and then swoops in as not that guy, but as a guy saying, hey, who stood you up? That's crazy. Let me buy you a drink. And then they end up going home together. I play his sister, who basically thinks he's a fuckwad and is screwing up his life. But it was a super fun film to make. It was made for $25,000. And
it looks good.
So less than The Purge.
Way less than The Purge.
What was it shot on?
Now if I were the director, I'd be able to say. Digital package, I know, was donated by Panasonic.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, maybe I'm right. I'd have to check the notes. But the guy who, it was a first-time director named Eric Kissick, and he was the editor for Sacha Baron Cohen films. So edited the Bruno, he edited Borat, or assistant edited some of it, and The Dictator. And so they got a lot of things donated. They did a lot of guerrilla filmmaking. And I think that he and the producer, who they knew each other, she also was like a kind of an assistant producer on those films too. She knew how to sort of say, get that shot, just get it, and then let's deal with the police when they come or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We donated all of our performances. But now, since it sort of went to the festivals and it did really well and won a lot of audience awards, and a directorial award at that Michael Moore, I should know this. It's a Michigan Film Festival that Michael Moore runs. Mm-hmm.
Not Tribeca.
No, it's called Tri-City
or something.
Yeah.
Something. Jesus.
Sorry.
No, I should have had a cheat sheet of things. I was like an actor in this film. Ms. Maiden. My baby was 4 months old when we shot it. So anyhow, since it's done well, there's this
Traverse
thing.
City.
Traverse City. Mm-hmm. It was picked up by a company called Film Festival Flicks, which allows for a simultaneous release of a DVD live streaming on their website, filmfestivalflicks.com, and a video on demand option. And it also puts it out kind of in a limited run, big screen, like maybe 8 locations. And it's a way for these small festival films that really are good films that do well at the festivals to be seen by a larger audience, so that you don't have to have been at Traverse City to happen to have cut this film. So it's cool because You know, I went to see, they had a premiere last week, kind of a little red carpet premiere.
Well, we'll talk afterwards about distribution with Comedy Film Nerds as well.
Oh, my God. But what was cool was that you really did get to see that it's a super watchable film. I would, mm-hmm. like, if anybody just wants to check it out, it's a bunch of, like, very low-level comic actors. And I'm saying, because I am one of them, but we are people that have been working at this career of comedy acting for over 10 years at least. And we all sort of came, my friend Kenny Stevenson wrote it. He wrote it with a lot of his friends in mind. So we're all playing parts that are like perfect for us. And it's a romantic comedy and it's super consumable, super easy to watch.
And how long did it take to shoot it?
It was shot over weekends for about 4 months. And I remember they told me, because the guy was editing, you know, his day job was editing. Everyone had day jobs, basically.
So this was basically a weekend shoot. Only worked on weekends.
Totally. And I shot for 2 days, and I remember they said, can you shoot the beginning of May? And I said, yeah, but I'm due May 11th. So, and then they said, actually, Eric now has a deadline for, I think it was The Dictator or something. Mm-hmm. And he's got to move around some dates. And I said, well, you're going to have to catch me like when I have a newborn. Because they sort of wanted to integrate the fact that I was this pregnant lady character, mm-hmm. And maybe change some of the dialogue to sort of mention that. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I have to say, it's like a super fun film to watch. And everybody, like a lot of people went through the Groundlings or their stand-ups. And mm-hmm. so a lot of it's improvised dialogue. And it's just, it's like a romp, I would call it. But I thought, Eric talked about, the female lead, her uncle does aerial shots for huge movies. Like, he is the guy that does stock footage.
Oh, wow.
Flying a helicopter, mm-hmm. getting like really beautiful shots.
So that's where he got that shot, was from her uncle?
The shots, and it's what's interesting is, yeah, they had him donated by her uncle.
Because we were watching that, Chris was like, yeah, stock footage. I'm like, yeah, but I was thinking to myself, how could they afford that? That's going to double their budget.
Exactly. And I mean, they had the score was donated. They had the credits donated. I mean, these things all cost money. So, and you know, of course, the director that can then edit with assistant editors a comedy movie because he has experience doing it. But I had never thought of this, but those stock footage, really large shots of LA that kind of swoop in and show the downtown, it lends what is a small film, like what you were talking about with The Purge, where it can feel so small. If it's shot inside of just bars, clearly before opening or closing, at someone's apartment, lit to look like night for day or whatever. If you put in these larger, like, swooping shots, it gives the whole film.
It opens up the movie.
It opens up. Right, yeah, and I have never, well, you say of course, but God, I'm an idiot. I would have never thought about that. I was like, man, it really did give it a sense that you're like, he's in LA, this is the world, here's his apartment. You know,
right,
like,
right.
Let's bring the mm-hmm. problems from big to little and make right. you feel like he's part mm-hmm. of a community. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And just from like a production value watching, you go, oh, this is a low budget film. It's probably $300,000 or $400,000 or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Not $25,000. Right. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
If every shot is a two shot, you know, you realize, oh, it's, you know, didn't really get anything that would open up the movie. But something like that, when you have these wide establishing shots, it gives the movie, yeah, some depth, some visual depth,
yeah,
some presence.
Definitely. But you really do have to watch out. I remember shooting a comedy sketch once, and we had a director, and he got all these freaking interesting shots of this and over the shoulder. And then we got for coverage the shot straight on of this sketch. And when we went to edit it, that's all we used, because so much of the comedy can be lost in an interesting shot. You're like, wait, that the visual perspective changes the actual perspective of the joke. It's
always good to have options when you get in the editing room. But here's the other trick, especially with comedians. Comedians act with their whole bodies. Mm. So when you have close-ups on, when you have close-ups on comedians, you can lose some of that visual information as they are actually acting. So a lot of times you see comedians, they're shot in larger shots because you want to get all that information because they use their whole bodies.
Right. And you need, comedy is all context too. So you really do need to see what's around, what environment is this actor playing in.
Right.
Yeah. If you just close up on the face of somebody going, farts.
Yeah. Now, the other side of that is when you go so small and you have like The Office where it's testimonial interviews, then that's like that's a whole nother technique.
But even those.
Those are referenced to a bigger thing.
Exactly.
Totally.
Yeah.
But those are also three-quarter. There's very few of those that were shot just
like really, really tight. Yeah.
Yeah, they're all three-quarter usually.
You see people walking behind them and interesting.
Sometimes they'll go close at the end of the interview in The Office to sort of like exclamation point the joke or you know what I mean?
You'll get tight on just one face, but like you said, it's not.
But it's,
it doesn't happen all the time.
Right. And the because it's like, well, you know, because I did this in The Office. And then they go close to see like the eyebrow or the thing saying, but I don't believe what I'm saying or I can't say this guy's an asshole or whatever.
A punch in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess as any comedian would come on here and maybe plug their like downloadable special or whatever, definitely go to filmfestivalflicks.com. Mm-hmm. Look for Love, Sex, and Misconnections. And because probably a lot of filmmakers do listen to this podcast. Just think, if you had a film that was in a festival and it did well all over,
because we distribute feature films, and we're actually
that's amazing.
That's part of our company that we're actually in the process of expanding. We only have 4 films right now, but
that's great.
We're actually because that's what we want to do. We want to help out filmmakers.
That's great. Yeah, because my mom, you know,
My
mom who lives in San Diego was like, I can't get to the Big Bear Film Festival. I can't go to Michigan. I know it's going to be in Irvine for a film festival there, but like she missed the date. And she was like, man, I really wished I could have seen that movie. And now she can.
Right.
Like in her house. Mm-hmm. And that's amazing.
Once she buys a computer.
Right. Well, she has an iPad. God, that was a mistake to get her an iPad. Man, they become like 60 plus with an iPad equals like 5 or younger with an iPad. It's the same person. They just get so, it's USA Today and looking at graphs and forwarding you articles by email. It's terrible. Terrible mistake.
All right.
Well, let's go to DVDs.
All right, coming out, Oz the Great and Powerful.
Oz the Great and Powerful. And this was the kind of movie, I did like this movie because I liked what Sam Raimi did with it. It had a couple missteps. One of them was in the casting. James Franco, who I like, was incorrectly cast for this movie. And when also you hear that Robert Downey Jr. was originally going to be cast, you were like, oh, he would have been the perfect snake oil salesman. Mm-hmm. Next movie is Snitch.
Yes.
I did not see Snitch. Did you see Snitch?
Snitch, I did. No, I did not see Snitch. This is with Dwayne Rock. This is The Rock and Susan Sarandon.
You were thinking you were going to see a picture of Mark Wahlberg, right?
No, I forgot. This is a father goes undercover for the DEA in order to free his son who was imprisoned after being set up by a drug deal, apparently based on a true story.
Hansel and Gretel, Witch Hunters. Neil, I believe, saw this movie. There is a review on the site. And this is pretty exciting. Enter the Dragon 40th Anniversary Blu-ray Edition.
This movie is great.
I feel like this is half your wardrobe is just Bruce Lee, like t-shirts. Am I wrong about that? You were literally constantly in a karate stance. Every picture on Facebook.
And the other half is Batman. So,
okay, okay. What are you wearing today? S-C-B-B?
This is a surfing thing. Surf Cowboys, Venice Beach. Right. Charlie, don't surf. this movie, if you haven't seen Enter the Dragon, first of all, it's in my top 10 in the martial arts chapter, the Comedy Film Nerd Guide to Movies. It is Bruce Lee at its finest, and it's a remake. It's a film that is like, it is one of the quintessential martial art movies. It has John Saxon in it. It has Jim.
Did you say it's a remake?
Remastering.
Remastering.
It's a Blu-ray edition, so it's obviously going to look very pretty. It's awesome, and it incorporates so many of
70s hair.
Of 70s hair and Bruce Lee's philosophy. Of course, you can read the book, The Art of Jeet Kune Do, which is the style that he created, which is sort of based. He took the best things of all the martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the last film he made before he died. There was another one that was in production that never got released that they've used some footage of. But this film.
How did he die again?
all mysterious circumstances.
There's
Brandon Lee is a mysterious circumstance.
No, Brandon Lee was shot on the set.
Oh, yeah. That's not mysterious. That's an accident.
But there is conflicting reports on how Bruce Lee
that
died.
Sort of is the mystique of it. And
you know, I've heard everything from, you know, it was planned to just it was a drug reaction. You know, mm-hmm. to something where his brain swelled from, I think it was hash or something like that.
Yeah.
Really?
A whole different kind of
And there was one that where it happened to him in China, but the Chinese doctor recognized it and he treated it and saved his life. But then he did it again in the States and they didn't catch it in time. And then that's what killed him.
Wow.
So that's one theory.
There's a lot of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff.
Sorry, just because he was taken too
young. Just go on the internet. You'll find plenty of theories
on
interviews
Bruce Lee's and stuff
death.
Like Enter the Dragon. If you have seen this movie, I'm thinking, like me, I can't wait for this Blu-ray. If you've never seen it, then get this Blu-ray. Like,
How old would he be now?
Well, he would be like 40.
Yeah.
It's a he was his zygote.
Yeah.
He'd probably be in his 60s or 70s.
He was 20 when he made that? So his 40th edition. He was like, had to have been 25 at
he
least.
He was close to 28, 30. How old was Bruce? I think he was like 30, maybe 31.
Speaking of t-shirts, I got my nephew a Bruce Lee t-shirt when he was turning 8 or something like that. Because I wanted to be that aunt that was cool and got Bruce Lee.
30, he was 32 when he died.
He'd be
72 years old.
Well, was that the last movie he made? No.
Well, he died in July of 1973, and Enter the Dragon came out in 73.
Can you imagine? Not really knowing you're an... you can't imagine James Dean, Marilyn Monroe. I think we have a lot of them.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so yeah, I got him this Enter the Dragon.
River Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. Well, he already knew. That's why he was doing blow on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got him this t-shirt, and he was like, I don't like it. And I was like, why not? He's like, I'm not a wrestling fan. And I was like, oh God, I have so much to teach you.
Wow. Sit down, young man.
Sit down, young man.
Get a pen and paper. All right, yeah. So check that out. And then there's Save the Date. Oh, that's on DVD. Oh, that's going to be so great.
Who's in that?
Who cares?
Yeah. No, really, who? Is that a comedy? Sounds like a comedy.
Yeah, it's a... Right. Sarah begins to confront her shortcomings after she rejects her boyfriend's hasty proposal and soon finds herself in a rebound romance. Meanwhile, her sister Beth is immersed in the details of her wedding. Who cares, as I said.
All right. Who's in it, though?
It's an indie.
Jeffrey Arend, Mark Weber, Allison Brie.
Okay.
Okay. So, premiering this week, very exciting, Man of Steel, finally.
Oh, this is going to be great.
And we'll definitely do a spoiler app with Mike Schmidt.
Mike Schmidt's going to be on the show, so we're going to do an all Man of Steel spoiler app.
And counter-programming is This is the End. This is the end of the world movie where James Franco, Seth Rogen, a lot of guys, they play themselves, which actually looks kind of funny. It's weird how many end of the world movies actually are coming out at the exact same time.
Getting us all ready for it.
Weird,
like,
yeah.
Like there was one that David Cross won and Julie Stiles. And then there's another one in Britain, there's another one coming out, the Simon Pegg one. So... What the best thing to do is get them all at once and just watch them marathon style.
Mm-hmm. While
to get
the
ready.
Ending.
Yeah, while the world's ending. Get ready for the end
I'm
of the world.
I'm kind of excited to see This is the End. I think it's an interesting premise that they're all playing.
I want to see both movies. Yeah. I definitely want to see both movies. And what I like about it, too, is they take shots at each other, but it's also, you could tell there's a budget behind this movie. Like, you could see, like, there's special effects, and it could be a cool, fun mix.
And James Franco's having a party, so then you see all these celebrities like, start to lose their shit and act like idiots, which I love.
I'm excited to see it.
I'm always into end-of-the-world movies, and because I was really disappointed by the Steve Carell one that was, 5 years ago or so?
I don't think it was five years ago.
It was 4 years ago.
It was even
year
sooner.
Or two?
Yeah.
Jeez, well, that really
seeking
went,
a date for the end of the world.
Yeah. One. Seeking a friend for the end
terrible.
Of the world.
Because I watched those. I just watched the preview, and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to watch the shit out of this movie. I love Steve Carell. Not such a big whatever her face, her tiny slash horse face.
Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley. She's fine. Wow. She needs to eat. Wow. It's look. I'm going to go totally. Is that sorry? Is she like next week's guest?
She lives in the garage.
Let's open up the refrigerator, Kira. Come on out. I need a face to horse face apology. No, she's got some. You could like open a can with her face. Something's wrong with her and her clavicle. Whatever. Sorry. But yeah, anyways, I was really excited for that. Made me think, though, about the end of the world and what I would do. I got up in the middle of the night last night and I thought, what if there was a meteor like headed towards Earth and my kid was sleeping in the next room? I would wake that baby up and play some fun ass. I would toss her up in the air and I don't know. What would you do? Like if it was maybe 15 minutes left, what would your, right now, we hear news.
I would go on a purge.
You would kill Graham. Be like, you're always talking over me. God damn it.
No. You just go hunting.
Yeah, I'd go hunting, purge style.
No, seriously, what would you do? 15 minutes left, end of the world, happening now.
Yeah, it's a cliche, but yeah, I would spend it with the kids. Of course you would.
Yeah, but where are they now?
They would be in the house.
Okay, no. Where are they right now? They're at school.
Oh, they're at school, yeah.
So you'd go get them.
They're at separate schools. I'd have to pick which one I would actually go see.
Let's make this completely unrealistic premise. Into an hour. You have an hour left. What would you do? You don't have kids right now.
An hour? I think I'd go to the beach.
Just walk into the ocean or just
sit and
wait?
Look at the beach and whatever the thing, when it's what? It's going to hit. We're all going to
It'll be a tsunami. Yeah. Don't worry. You'll get it. You get it first.
Then I'll get it quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because also, I would totally
would
go out of my deck.
Would you take your samurai sword, too, and, like, fight the wave that would come? Would you
I'd probably commit seppuku as it's coming.
Wow. What a waste of time.
Yeah.
You're the idiot driving all over picking a kid.
I would be trying to get a good
view. I would kill myself right before the Earth killed me.
Ha-ha, Earth. You don't get to do it.
I mean, what a different film that would have been had they shortened the amount of time that the meteor was going to land. You know, it's like you can make five different films if you just pick, like, this is the 15-minute version. This is, they have an hour, right? Guys? Yeah. Anyone?
Mm-hmm. Sure, we'll do an hour.
Anyone out there want to talk back
Hello?
To me?
Hello?
Is that how this works? Let's take a call.
We have Keira Knightley on the phone.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Keira Knightley. I am.
I'm a bloody model.
Oh, I'm a model. I'm better than all three is. Well, that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. Mm. What an exciting hour of fun that was.
That was fun.
Stephanie, where can people find you on the internet?
Before the end of the world.
Before the end of the
world. Before the
end
of the world.
Any tour dates, any shows?
If you have 15 minutes left, definitely follow me on Twitter at Steph Escajeda, STEPH Escajeda. You'll find it. Or you won't. Only 2,000 people have. I'm gonna be at Malo on Thursday doing stand-up.
All right.
No, and it's in LA. That's bringing it small back into the big mansion that Ethan Hawke lives in.
Special purge show.
Yeah,
right?
Who are you going to go
and
on?
And also, go ahead and request me on Facebook. I won't accept your friendship because it's mostly pictures of my baby and I don't want you creeps looking at my baby. No, I love you guys, whoever you are. I don't even know who's. I'm really just looking at a mic. Dot, dot, dot. There's a bunch of dot, dot, dots happening in my head right now.
So what do you have coming up?
Wait, did I not just say?
No, I meant movie-wise. Do you have another indie movie?
No, I wish I did. No, I'm working on raising a two-year-old.
And we see that you in
commercials.
Yes,
all the time,
very
which
cool.
I would actually say has been a loop, because a lot of those guys, like a lot of the DPs work on movies and the crews are all like, this is what they do on their off time. And so one time I was shooting a commercial for Honda Pilot where we all were singing Crazy Train in the car. And I was the mom and all the kids in the back were doing a cappella Crazy Train.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the follow car for the picture car because they were just shooting the kids. So it wouldn't have been a shot with me in it.
Right.
And they were doing was talking about all film deaths. I thought of this because of Bruce Lee. They were just, because film sets are dangerous and you always have a safety talk at the beginning of it, but you never think that anything comes of it. But they were like, nope. Remember that PA like about a month ago got crushed by the crane op thing? And I was like, are you serious?
Wow.
And it goes around because it's such a small community. It's like everyone knows about the PA that's like 23 and got crushed. But I know. Am I morbid or what?
Good promotion.
Also, I have to.
So look for more dead crew members here at my website.
I also feel like I'm going to be totally like an asshole. I don't mention that my cousin, Ingrid Escajeda, writes for Justified.
Oh, nice. Oh, I love
so
that show.
So I had to say that because you said Justified, and I was like, I don't want to. I've been super name-droppy on this anyways. Ingrid Escajeda, guys.
Love it.
Learn it. Love it. Justify it.
Very all cool. Right.
Thank you, Stephanie Escajeda, for being on our program. We will be... Chris and I will be this weekend at the AMFM Festival in Coachella Valley.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We're doing a stand-up show Friday night with Mike Schmidt.
Mike Schmidt's going to be on that
show. And then we'll be doing a live podcast, and then we'll be hosting the awards on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, so, what's the festival name? Hot as Balls?
Hot as Balls. Yeah.
The Coachella Valley?
Make sure indoor. Yeah, all everything sweat. Will be indoor. Yeah,
turn your blood to dust. That's the one. I will also be in New Orleans with Douglas Benson on June 27th and then June 28th in Oklahoma City. So come check that out. And then, of course, July 12th, Chris and I will be doing our annual Halfway to Vegas show in Barstow at that lovely Mexican restaurant. And I think I'm going to have my quinceañera. It's going to be fun. And then I will be headlining the Hollywood Improv July 13th. It's a 10 o'clock show. So check all those out. Christopher, anything else?
Well, we do have the also we're going to be in Tahoe in August.
Yeah, we will be in Tahoe in August, which is August. I believe that is August 14th through 18th.
Yep.
And I will be headlining.
Wait, what? You're going to be in Tahoe August 14th?
Yeah.
Off my family reunions in Tahoe August 14th.
Oh,
no, that's awesome. We'll see
Ingrid
you there.
Gonna be there.
No,
I want to ask
it's
her.
It's the other side of the moon.
We'll see you in Tahoe.
Yeah.
And then I'll be headlining Zany's in Rosemont August 21 through 24. So check all those dates out.
And we do want to thank you guys as well for you guys have been really been buying the 2013 summer movie preview episode. We do want to mention too, it is now on iTunes. Yeah. A lot of you have been holding out, waiting. It's like, got to buy it on iTunes. It is now in iTunes, so have at it.
Yeah, it's on iTunes and on our site.
Oh, you know what? I want to mention this. Do we have time real quick for the fans? I want to mention this, too. We're having an issue with iTunes right now. And one of the reasons is the podcast, we have a lot of reviews. 90 to 95% of them are very good. There's 5% are bad. iTunes always figures out a way to list all of the bad ones first. So what has happened is that they've changed the way they do it. Like you could see the most recent reviews of the podcast, and you know they've all been great. But we have some old reviews back from 2010, 2009 that are not as great, and they're all tracking up high. So this won't cost you anything. What we'd like you guys to do is just to go in and mark them as unhelpful and the good ones as helpful to even out the tracking where it's supposed to be. Because we did get trolled a couple of times, and that's what the trolls did. They actually reversed it to make sure the bad ones would track first.
Sure.
So if we had a couple hundred of you do that, that's all it would take, and then it would actually even out the tracking for us. We appreciate that.
And buy a TiVo and say you heard about it on the show.
That too.
All right, that's our show. Thank you once again to Stephanie Escajeda.
Thank you, guys.
My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. As always, remember, Han
shot first.
It's going to be hot in Coachella Valley.
Very hot.
Yeah.
Hot as balls.